Last week we started talking about guardians of the faith. And if you were here last week and you remember, I liked that because it reminded me of Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm a sci-fi kind of nerd. I enjoy that kind of thing. We are in Ephesians, and we started talking a little bit about the shield of faith, and we brought that up in that it's this big Roman shield is what's referenced. It's this big Roman shield, and it covers your whole body, and you carry it with two hands, right? And so when the fiery darts of the enemy come at you, they're extinguished using this thing because it's usually very wet with a leather exterior on it. And you've probably seen it in a lot of these older movies with the Roman centurions, and it's really a great weapon of defense. Right? So in Ephesians chapter 6, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your written word today. We thank you, Lord, that you are working with us and in us and through us. We thank you that your word is living and active and able to divide between our thoughts and intents. And we thank you, Father, that your word is witnessing to us in our hearts today. Amen. Ephesians 6, and we'll start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand or to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the gospel, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We cannot fully stand and guard our faith if we're not fully prepared. It takes, and I love the way he does this, and he takes it and he puts spiritual principles and he makes it something that is battle ready. See, we're supposed to put on the breastplate of righteousness. If you know in your heart that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? For he himself knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If that's in your heart, and some little voice comes up and says, oh, you're just a stinky thing. You're not right with God. You go around, you have big talk. Don't you listen to that voice. Guard your heart. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If your family says, well, I remember when you did this or you did that or you used to do stuff like this. That's not you. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, aren't you? Here we see, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. I always like to say it this way. My wife is not my enemy. You are not my enemy. Sometimes the enemy can use people around us. We did. Oh, it was a couple weeks ago, man. We were watching TV and got done and we were getting ready to go to bed. And I shared this at prayer school, and all of a sudden, man, I mean, out of nowhere, I just said horrible things. I don't even know where it came from. And the whole time on the inside, I'm laughing. And Kathy, we were talking the next morning. She said, you know, I was just laughing on the inside. She said, I knew it wasn't you. See, who's our enemy? Satan. Sometimes when we're not aware, he can get a hold of us, doesn't he? That's why we've got to keep our armor on, the helmet of salvation. See, if we're always thinking in terms of I'm saved, I'm a follower of Jesus, I'm not doing that, but we're not always thinking that way, so sometimes these thoughts come in, they enter. There's a scripture that says, there are many voices in the world today, and none without, the word I can't remember. None without importance is basically what it means. There's many voices in the world, and there's many of them that are important. I mean, you can listen to the radio, and you can turn on the news, you can go and talk to your neighbor. There's lots of voices in the world. Okay? And none of them are not important, but what's the most important voice? God. The voice of God, the voice of the Word, the voice of God in your heart. Now, if we don't put the Word of God in our heart, then there's not going to be any Word to come out. You know? We'll just, you know, we can be saved and not effective. We can be saved and always be under persecution, always be under attack. I mean, there are some people, on Facebook isn't a diary for posting all your feelings. You know, there are some people, man, there's like, oh, I'm under attack today, pray for me. Oh, the devil's coming. Oh, the devil. And then you come to church, oh, thank you, Jesus. Right? Teenagers. Man. All the stories I hear from my daughter in school and the way teenagers behave. When I was a teenager, I didn't hang out with a lot of people. Because there's a lot of weirdness going on, and this one's dating that one, and that one's dating this one, and now you know, I don't like you today, so I'm going to beat you up. And you know, man, school, yuck. You know. But if you have your shield of faith up, if you've got the helmet of salvation on, you've got the breastplate of righteousness, you've got the belt of truth. Almost sounds like a superhero, like Wonder Woman. You know what I'm saying? You know, you've got the belt of truth. Why? Because in your innermost being, you've got the truth. And your feet are shod. You've got the gospel on your feet. You're walking in Christ. You're walking in Him. You're walking in the power and provision of God. Your mind is set on Him. Your heart is steadfast. You've got the shield of faith to protect you from lies. You know, not all lies come from out there. Sometimes lies come from devotionals. You know, there's devotionals that are really good for you, and then there's devotionals that will, they'll just keep reminding you of your past. Oh, you know, today we remember how, you know, we used to do this or we used to do that, and, you know, we're thankful that's been forgiven. When I first came to the Lord, and I was talking to my pastor, there was a verse in 1 John. It says, because He dwells in us, we cannot sin. I read that to him. I'm like, can you believe this? It says we can't sin. He says, oh, but you're going to. I'm like, but it says right here, because His seed's in us, we can't sin. So, oh, you're going to, though. I was like, oh, well, He's the pastor. I guess He knows best. I went and got mad at my brother, and I said, He's right. We are still going to sin. What now? Well, you know, I grew up some since then. And we don't have to sin. We don't have to do those things. We don't have to do the things we once used to do. But the way that we do it is being fully armored. Do we send our military into battle in Bermuda shorts and tank tops? No, we send them armed, right? We're not sending them into battle ill-prepared. We're sending them ready. God is sending us. See, we're in this world. We're not of the world anymore, but we're still in it. In that, He has given us everything we need, according to Ephesians, everything we need for life and godliness through Christ Jesus. We are in Him. That's a big big statement in him. You know, it appears multiple times throughout the New Testament. There's in him, in whom, in Christ. We are in him. What does that mean if I'm in him? Well, I've got my helmet of salvation. I've got my breastplate of righteousness. I've got my belt of truth. I've got my feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of salvation. And I've got my shield of faith. I'm in him. I've told this story before. My mom and I were getting ready to go to church one Wednesday night, and we were backing out of her driveway, and man, all of a sudden, it was like with Kathy and I. It was just, we were just, biting at each other with words. And she said, "Stop the car, I'm not going to church." And I stopped the car. And I started praying in tongues. And the Lord revealed to me two little demonic creatures in the back seat throwing sludge at us. And I cast them out in the name of Jesus. And man, I'm telling you what, the problem stopped right then. And I told my mom, and she said, "Well, praise the Lord, let's go to church now." See, sometimes we don't even know something is going to come up on us, but when we do, we have to understand, I'm not that person who does those things anymore. Was I in sin when I said those things? No. I wasn't in sin, I was in him. But my thoughts were not my own. We regained our thoughts, and we get back to. It would be a sin to continue in it. It would be a sin to become that kind of person again. It would be a sin to just continue to be angry at her and say, "I'm fine, that's it, I'm done, no more." Because that's where sin will lead you to. Sin ultimately always leads to separation. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Sin separated man from God. Jesus came and he brought man back to God. Not in the same way, of course, because you have to believe. Sin separated all mankind. Jesus brings all mankind back who will believe on him for salvation. That's why he is the second Adam. When we're driving, has anybody ever just put it on cruise control and taken a nap? What would happen if you put it on cruise control and took a nap? Especially on some of the roads up here, right? You're going to drive out Sly Park, put it on cruise control, and take a nap. That won't get you very far, will it?
No.
Well, in our daily life, the same is true. We have to make adjustments just like we do when we're driving. I mean, you've got to be paying attention. You've got to be focused on where you're going and what you're doing. And it's the same thing in our life in him. We have to be focused on who we are, what we're doing, and where we're going. Because when we lose focus of that, we go over those horrible bumpy things in the middle of the road that wake you up. You know, they go, you know, and it feels like you're under attack. The same is true. See, these little things that happen like that, they go, "Oh, that's right. I need to correct. I need to get back over here." Last week I said, you know, it's like a horse. You put blinders on, so they won't look to the left or to the right. They look just straight ahead. I know that that sounds narrow-minded, but remember, Jesus did say that the road that leads to destruction is wide, but the road that leads to life is narrow. It's a narrow path that we have to stay on. We have to stay focused on it. Otherwise, we're just going to end up, we're going to be like the rest of the world. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and she wouldn't mind if I said this, or not today, but this week. And we were talking about end time stuff, and I said, "You know, it just gets so convoluted all the time, I just don't even know what to think anymore." And she says, "Yeah, I know." And we're, you know, talking about some teaching, and I said, "Yeah, it just gets so dry sometimes." She says, "Yeah, I know." I said, "So I stopped doing it." She said, "You did?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm just going to focus on the epistles, because I know that they're for me and to me and about me. You know, there's some good information, good Bible study stuff out there. You know, because I got, you know, because there's a lot of things you can get studying, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just kind of dry." And so we were talking, and she says, "You know, I've been thinking the same thing." She says, "Thank you for that advice. So she messages me the next day. She says, I was just reading in here and here. And, oh, my goodness, it's just so wonderful. And I'm like, well, there you go. You know, because some things impart life. Some things impart knowledge. What's more important? Life. Things that impart life. If it doesn't impart life, well, you can study it a little bit, but you don't want to get stuck in it. Because that's looking to the left and to the right. And we can get in the gutter. It's hard to get out of the gutter. We had this guy last winter, he's got a four-wheel drive Jeep, and he's driving up in the road in front of our house, and it's all snowy and icy up there. And, you know, you get a four-wheel drive Jeep, and, you know, you can get in trouble in those too. you know, as soon as you start thinking, oh, I'm in a four-wheel drive Jeep, I can go anywhere. No, you can't, because sliding happens sideways. And you can slide sideways and not have four-wheel drive going sideways. You still are sliding. And he slid off the side of the road. And man, he spent 30 minutes out there or so, and he's like revving his engine and squealing his tires. I'm sitting inside, because school got canceled that day, and I'm looking out the window. I'm kind of laughing a little bit to myself, and I'm reminding myself, be careful not to laugh too much, because that could be you. Yeah. And I'm looking, I'm laughing, I'm like, I could go out and offer to help him, but what am I going to do? I've got a shovel, But it's another case of those that, you know, sometimes we just get really comfortable in what we're doing. We know we've got all the right equipment. We know we've got all the right information, but we can still slide off the road. And it's important, you know, especially now, you know, we're on Pentecost Sunday, and it's the remembering of the pouring out of the Spirit of God on man. We need to be in tune with Him. We need to be in tune with the Spirit of God. Because if we are, He's going to warn us. He's going to say, you need to be careful. Get back over here. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. Oh, no, get back over here. Right? Because it's easy to get distracted. Life is filled with distractions. We, you know, anybody have a friend who, you know, that they see something shiny, they're like, oh, look. You know, and kids are like that. You know, caterpillars. Oh, let's just put a whole bunch in our pockets and take them inside. It'll be great. No, don't do that. Because if you forget they're there, that's going to be an awful mess for mom or grandma or somebody to clean up. You know what I'm saying? Ugh. You know what I'm saying? But then you get back on track again, and you keep moving forward. I love Walt Disney. His motto, it's much longer than this, but at the center of it, he's saying, around here, we keep moving forward. We keep moving forward. Yeah, so maybe you fall off into the ditch and you need help getting back out. You did something. Now everybody knows you did it. Okay, well, we're just going to get back on track and keep going this way. Right? And not be distracted. You hit a bump in the road. Something happened to you. Okay. You're my strength. You're my shield. I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes we need to say those things. Not because we don't know it, but because we know it. And we need to remind ourselves. In him was no sin, but he became sin that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Neither height nor depth nor power nor principality can separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. I can't be separated from him. Amen. You can't. As long as you're walking towards him, as long as you're not walking away from him, going, you know, I don't want to have anything to do with you. You know, Kathy, we have this friend. And here's the difference, okay? This friend got so distracted with the world that she posted, and I'm not in context, I'm not going to say, but what she posted was, you know, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and I can't believe that they're against this kind of thing. Oh, there's so much love there. She said, she just basically renounced Christianity in her post. Oh, but the thing is that, you know, most of us are never going to walk out and go, you know, I don't want to have anything else to do with Jesus. I don't want to have anything else to do with God. This is, I can't believe, you know, that I was ever involved in a church that taught that you should have some sort of moral standard, or you should have some sort of holiness unto him the way that he wants. And to just live however you want, that is turning away. And that is making the blood of Jesus something that you stomp on. But we're not like that, are we? We keep moving forward. If we make a mistake, we own it, we say we did it, we repent, we go on. Right? Okay.